let us look at some non-financials which are impacted by human capital. So there, we are looking at some matrix here. Okay, what are the matrix and what are the related questions you need to ask to get your answers? So, for example, how does the management leverage its skills and experience? How does it gain employee commitment? How does it stay aligned with shareholder interest? How does it really use the experience of the people to be able to bring out the best in them? How does it gain employee commitment? How does it retain its people? That's the part of its strategy. Does the manage, what is the credibility of the management? Okay, this is, I think, very, very important, because people stay in organization based on the credibility they see an organization has, the management has. Does the management walk its talk? Does it do what it says? Or does it just say and doesn't do? On the ground, they do not see execution. So, is management forthright? Is it transparent about the issues it has? Is it open about what it wants to do? Does it share with its people? I think management credibility is very, very key and important part which gets affected and impacted by human capital. And what is the kind of strategy an organization has? What is the quality of it? Does the management have vision for the future? Is it able to see and take the right decisions when it wants to? Does it quickly seize opportunity? Is it able to see opportunities? Does it allocate the right resources at the right time to the right set of projects? Is it able to do this matching of right skills, right job, right fit? I think extremely important point, because if that doesn't happen, your human capital gets impacted big way. And this is very true for, I have seen it in my career and in my organization and in many previous organizations that I have worked, is that if the management is not able to have the vision, or it can't take tough decisions, or it does not match up the right people to the right jobs, there is an impact on the overall organization's performance. How innovative is the organization? Is it a trendsetter? Is it the first? Are they the first to do something? We all are hearing about OpenAI and ChatGPT, something that is that is changing the world, and the speed at which AI is moving, at the speed at which ChatGPT is giving answers, there are a lot of questions around it. But yes, they have become a forefront runner in that space, and every other organization is looking at what they can do within the AI space, right? So are organizations the trendsetter, the first ones, or are they just followers and they follow what other organizations do? Does the company or the organization readily change? Does it change its philosophy based on how the market is running or the economy is running? Does it look few years down the line that what could possibly happen due to a certain scenario? So is it able to forecast the future? That's, I think, it's very, and in terms of being able to see the future, how is it moving today? So we know of a few organizations, and I'm sure you also have heard, were not able to move fast with times, were not innovative enough, and today these organizations no longer exist. Let's admit that is the reality. Certain organizations were not able to move at the speed after being very, very large organization. So innovation is key. If you do not innovate, you are out of the market. You just cannot be there. You have to keep thinking differently. And I think this will be one of the key skills as people, as human beings, we will also have to develop over the time to be the front runner in the market. So innovativeness is key. Ability to attract talented people. Is the organization able to hire the right set of people? Is it able to attract the right talent? Is it ready in terms of training its people, make them ready for tomorrow, prepare them for the skills that are required for tomorrow? for the times that are coming in for tomorrow. This will be very, very important. These will be the very some of the very important facets in terms of how the human capital will get impacted. Also, what is the market share? Is the company ensuring the value of the current market? Is it well positioned to expand that value in the future? Where does the organization stand right now? And what will it do that it continues to hold a value in the market? I think the point before that we came, the innovative, the point on innovativeness. If organizations are not able to innovate, they are not able to have a market share. Think about which organizations today have a larger market share. The organizations which are continuously able to innovate have always have had the larger market share. And a very good example are our phones, right? Samsung kept on innovating. Apple is keeping innovating, and they are having a sizable market share. They are different from what they have to offer to their customers, and we don't know where Nokia is right now, right? It was one of the front runners in the market, and that's how an organization through its innovativeness continues to manage its market share. The management experience, which is the team, leadership team, which is leading the organization, guys, extremely crucial. What is the experience of this management team? How does this management team look at future? How does it run in the market? What is the strategy of the management team? Is the management team able to have a vision and mission which will propel it in future? What is their track record of performance? From where are from where they have come? What is their experience? While employees join larger organization, many employees would first look at who is the management team. They would go on the company's website and look at who is the management team, who is running this organization. Okay, what are the credentials of the management team? The definitely management experience impacts the human capital in that organization. Quality of executive compensation. What is the compensation the executive team has? Is executive pay tied to its strategic goals? How well is it linked to creation of shareholder value? Very good point, right? The management can only do as much as it is paid. So executive compensations are a topic by itself, and there are specific organizations which work on executive pay, and this requires a different kind of an expertise altogether. But definitely quality of executive compensation is important. Is the pay like, for example, is the executive pay linked to their deliverables, to the goals of the organization? Is there is there fixed pay different? Is there performance pay different? What is the performance pay that they are going to get? Is quality of executive compensation. Then quality of the processes. What is the quality of the processes? Can the organization see risk? Can they look at execution of its current operation? Is the transition seamless in changing conditions? How are their processes enabled? If the organization is going through change, how does the organization do change? How does it manage change? And many organizations have not been successful in their transitions because they have not been able to manage change effectively as much as they should. Or they have not been able to, you know, manage the cultural challenges that come along with the growth of an organization. Let's assume an organization is operating in India and it opens an office in Japan because it sees business there. It has to be able to amalgamate with Japanese culture, understand its Japanese counterparts, understand the Japanese way of working, so that this growth in the Japanese market is successful. So they have to look at what are the various operational modes that they are in, and whether they are moving in the right direction. Are they able to look at the different changing conditions that an organization goes through and bring about process changes with the changing conditions an organization goes through? And definitely, research leadership. How well does management understand the link between creating knowledge and using it? So, I have I'm a pharma organization and I have developed a new medicine for diabetes, as we spoke before, or probably developed a cure for blood pressure. How am I using that knowledge, and you know, what am I doing with that knowledge of what I have created? Or I have created new processes to make something which I have to percolate at all levels in the organization. What am I doing to percolate that knowledge of that process in the organization? So one is understanding new knowledge which is getting created, how that knowledge is getting created, how that knowledge can be disseminated across the organization, at what levels the knowledge has to be disseminated, who is using this knowledge, and where all this knowledge is getting affected, where all it is affecting. So definitely market share, management experience, quality of compensation that the management gets, quality of major processes, and any research leadership. These are key factors in which impact and human capital in any organization. Heard about human asset accounting? So this is a new point, human asset accounting. Can you really look at human asset accounting? It's basically how human assets are looked upon as economic value to the organization. There are three types of human resource accounting models. So cost models consider the historical acquisition, replacement, or opportunity cost of human assets. Okay, here is if you have to acquire a new person, I'll give a good model, a good example I would give of our industry itself. If I have one person in my who's working for a project for a client, generally in IT industry, every employee brings value to economic value to the organization because he or she is hired for doing certain work for a client. The person, whoever is the, let's take a resource here, an human resource here, does some work for the client, and in turn, the organization gets money for what that person delivers. This is called bill rate. Every employee is billed for the number of hours he works, and the bill rate is per hour. So, for example, I am working on a project for 8 hours. I will be billed for 8 hours, and I will have an hourly billing model. So I will be billed per hour, which is in agreement with the client. So the client will say, for an asset like Ranjana or somebody like human, for a person like Ranjana, who is giving me certain output in terms of developing a program, for every 1 hour, I will pay $30. So if I work for 8 hours, it is 30 into 8, right? That is what the organization will get per day. So getting somebody like me who has a certain skill, certain knowledge, which I am delivering to the client over the time, I'm bringing some economic value to my organization. Okay. Now, if I leave the organization and if I have to be replaced, it means the organization needs somebody who has similar skills like me, who should be having similar knowledge like me, and who can give similar output like me to the client. And if my replacement doesn't happen on time, the number of days wasted is the loss or billing loss the organization will incur. It is also an opportunity loss, right? So in terms of human as per this business model, the organization is losing when an employee leaves the organization or replacement doesn't happen on time. So both monetary and non-monetary economic value models are there, okay? And it's very important to look at it from both the perspectives. So, human asset accounting models attempt to calculate the contribution that human assets make to firms by capitalizing the pay expenditures. A distorted cash flow of total pay is included in the asset section of the balance sheet rather than classifying it as an expense. So human asset accounting models attempt to calculate how much have I contributed. Like I give you a very simple, easy example. If I have contributed for a day 8 hours, then $30 per hour, then 30 into 8 is the value I brought to the organization. So that is what I am bringing as a human asset to the organization, right? So it's not that my cost will be directly put there in the balance sheet, but the balance sheet will calculate what is the value I bought the organization, multiply by days, numbers, number of months, and then of course year. But many of these models, while in our space they are very objective and clear. Many models might and but how do I calculate what somebody in departments which are not billable? So I gave you an example where you have clear billable, you have knowledge, you understand very clearly how an employee becomes billable. So you have that information. But other functions, like in my organization, other functions like marketing, sales, or administration, or branding, these teams, it's difficult to put a human value or human cost to them. And they are known more as cost functions. They are not billable functions. They are known more as cost functions. And these functions to really assess the value of human capital in these firms might suffer from subjectivity, uncertainty. You do not have complete information, okay? And it's generally, hence human asset accounting is not generally accepted by accountants and financial analysts. Most also find that it is morally unacceptable to treat people as financial assets and that they are not owned by the company, right? People have the free will. Today I can work in an organization. If I don't want to, I can leave the organization. So there is a free will that I exercise while working in the organization. But in the end, all organizations have human beings working for them, and there is certain value that all human beings bring to the organization through their, as we said, through their knowledge, skills, qualifications, expertise, personality traits, wisdom. That's all that people are still bringing to work, and there is still a case for assessing this value, but it's little difficult to really put it on paper or put it in black and white in certain situations. So how efficiently people use human capital is what really is the way you look at it in terms of, you know, your future earning opportunities. How efficiently people use their skills to be able to get the productivity that is expected of them. Then because you cannot directly measure that. It is the efficiency part of their roles that they are playing through which businesses are able to measure whether the human capital that they have is useful or not. So, for example, if a salesperson, if he is bringing good business to the organization, that is the value that he is bringing to the organization. If the marketing personnel is able to market the organization well or bring business for the organization, that is the value he or she is bringing to the organization. Any person in an HR department, if he is able to, you know, groom the people well, train them well, bring practices and processes which enhance people's capabilities, that is the value that person is bringing to the organization. So it completely depends on the kind of roles people play and the kind of value these people are bringing in those roles to the organization, because of which you are able to assess whether they are giving back to the organization in terms of their overall skill sets. So how do you increase your human capital? Is you increase the education of your workforce, okay? You provide a work culture which encourages creativity, which creates innovation, where your workforce, where your culture enhances opportunities to innovate, where you reward innovation, okay? You use people for their specialized skills. So you know, whatever is your workforce, you divide that workforce to do special work So certain people would, and we have a lot of manufacturing organization which work into very strong specialized niche way of working, the factory models. People are specialized into certain areas and they do only that, right? Then of course hire a diverse workforce in terms of age, experience, gender. All these a diverse workforce brings in lot of knowledge to any organization, and it helps the organization grow. And we've seen a lot of emphasis nowadays on diversity and inclusion to make workforces more agile and stronger. Train people well, definitely provide good infrastructure, create an environment of competitiveness where people are excelling through, healthy competition. They are trying to do their best so that they can grow, and through the competitive nature, they are able to give their best in the work that they do, and continue to coach and mentor your people. So while you do all this, it's important that your human capital keeps performing to its highest potential by using various means and modes through which an organization finally continues to be in business, continues to make profits, continues to increase its revenues. So objectives of any human capital management is to determine what would be the impact of people on the business, how would they contribute to the overall organization, what value they would bring to the organization. To demonstrate that HR practices produce value for money in terms, for instance, what is the return on investment you are getting, to provide guidance on future HR and business strategies, and provide data so that people management in the organization becomes stronger and stronger. Okay, so overall, when the way your human capital gets managed, it's very important that the related processes, systems, practices, policies all go hand in hand so that your overall human capital becomes stronger. In the end, this is the capital which is delivering to the organization. This is the capital which is bringing value to the organization. This is the capital which is, helping the organization grow and finally achieve its objectives and goals. So it's important that this aspect be looked into deeply, studied well, studied in terms of the overall competition in the industry, and related changes have to be done while you're managing this overall process of managing your human capital, right? So this was another very, very important facet in terms of how we manage human capital and their performance, be able to see them in the light of bringing value to the organization. So thank you so much. This was Human Capital for you. Thank you.